Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
However, standing by right now is the one and the only, Sean Mooney.
Who?
Mooney, everybody's got a price for the $1 million man.
After he threw him off through the announce table, Taker climbs back down, he gets in the ring, and he goes, see if he's breathing.
So right before I called 911, I thought she'd fallen asleep. Kind of shook her a little bit to wake her up, and she did not respond.
And I'll go down to my grave, testifying or whatever, swearing that Davey was not on drugs. If he was on drugs, the way Brett says, how great does that make Davey?
Are you laughing, Sean?
I get off the track here all the time.
Did you just laugh, Sean?
If they would do a movie about your life, who would you want to play your part?
Well, George Clooney, of course. Who else could it be?
Attention, Sean Mooney, you scum, you slime, you maggot. If there's no further questions, you're dismissed. Carry on, maggot.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Prime Time, coming off a great episode with the creators of the awesome series Dark Side of the Ring, one I thoroughly enjoyed because of not only the tremendous stories they've told so far, but also because of my production background early on in my career with Major League Baseball productions. I've told you guys snippets through the episodes, but I just am fascinated by how people actually put these series together. I did it at one point in my life, and it was fantastic. I mean, if I wouldn't have stepped in front of a camera, that's where I would have stayed. I would have been a producer. I would have stayed a producer. And I just loved how they were able to put the show together just to do that in itself was a great story. Then also hearing about the stories that they featured in the series was great as well. And I want to thank director Jason Eisner and producer Evan Husney for coming on. We'll have to have them back when they wrap up season two. I know they've got some great stories. They mentioned that they had been working on that Dino Bravo episode, so I think you can expect that one and some other great ones. All right, another great episode this week, Savio Vega. And although I never got the chance to work with Savio, but I have watched a lot of his matches, and man, did he have some good ones. What a great hand, as they call someone who is a great performer in the ring. And my favorites were the ones that he had with Steve Austin. I don't know if you've ever seen these matches, but these two guys just had tremendous chemistry. And he will talk about it in this conversation, among many other topics. And I love my conversation with Savio. Still as excited about what he did in the ring as the first day he stepped into it. So let's get to it. Ding, ding, ding. Juan Rivera is part of a tremendous legacy of great professional wrestlers, a fraternity of just tremendous athletes from Puerto Rico who brought a style to the ring that still impacts the business today. But Savio Vega, as he is better known, possessed a style that combined incredible athleticism and badass toughness that was his very own. Savio, thank you so much for joining us on Primetime. How are you?
Thank you very much for having me here and, to talk to the fans. So it's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I tell you,
you are a legend too.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I don't know about that, but thank you.
Yes, sir, you are.
Yeah, but I tell you, I mean, you're right in the people who listen to Primetime, my podcast, Savio, they love that era. the 80s, the 90s.
Yes.
It's just a golden time, and people just loved that period. Why do you think that was such a great time for professional wrestling?
Characters.
Yeah.
Characters. Yeah. You have characters. You have people that you don't see these days.
Yeah.
You have Andre the Giant. You have Abdullah the Butcher. You have Bruiser Brody. You have Junior Dog. You have Jim Duggins. You have Hulk Hogan. You got characters.
Yeah.
You see characters. You see people that you don't see these days. I mean, of course, these days you have a new era, you know, and you have different characters. But that time, those 80s, let's say the 70s, 80s, 90s, was characters. I mean, you don't see no more the big guy, maybe the fat guy, but that fat guy that moved fast, that was, you know, a gimmick.
Yeah.
You know, now everybody want to be slim, beautiful, pretty,
yeah.
You know, and you don't see characters.
Yeah.
I believe that's one of the major keys. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
No. I think you're very right there, sir. And the other thing was that they gave them the chance to develop those characters. They lived it, you know, and I think that is a big difference today because, you know, we hear more about how it's scripted and everything, but they don't get the opportunity, and they don't travel, and they don't, they aren't with the crowd like that as much as they were back then. Now, some of these independent operations are, and I think that's why we're seeing the emergence of some of these independents doing so well. But as far as the WWF as we knew it, and now, of course, the WWE, those guys, you know, they lived their characters. They really did. It was just amazing.
Yeah. And they are characters. You see those guys in the street and you recognize them right away.
Yeah.
You see a picture somewhere and boom, you know, this day, of course, you're going to recognize these guys too because they're on TV, you know, and major time TV. But, and you hit something very right. The promotions work on push the character because that was the big time heel, and you need to put some heat on, let's say, Abdullah the Butcher.
Yeah.
Let's say the TNT. I was doing the character here as a TNT. So when TNT arrived, nobody knows that guy. A new guy had just arrived, bald head guy, paint in the face. I was having something different from everybody. I was martial artist.
Yeah.
So I use my kicks and my knowledge on Taekwondo in the ring.
Yeah.
When the time was right to do it. Not every time. You have to be a timing. You have to be, you need to have good time to be in the spot. And the promotions, of course, have to work on put some heat on you because you're going to face Shen. And Shen is the champion. So here come TNT. TNT was, for almost a year, undefeated. I was beating everybody left and right because my goal was face Carlos Colon for the Universal title.
Right.
So I don't work. I don't wrestle on the house shows around the island. I just went to one spot, TV, and I was on TV for almost a year, beating people left and right, building that character.
Mm-hmm.
Then one of the TV directors, he said, I have an idea. I said, what? He said, let's make a video. Let's do a video. Mm-hmm. We took almost a month. We did almost a movie because we shoot in different parts of the island about this character. And this day, that video is still on YouTube. It's on YouTube. And people here in the island, you know, when they see me and they talk about TNT, they touch the video because the video was so good by the time, you know, when we did by the 80s. And but these days is different. It's kind of a more rush, more fast. I mean, you need to sell the TV, have to be short time to do this. Let's go to the next one. Let's go to the next one because you don't want those ratings to drop. But at the same time, you take a little bit from that heat of the, you know, it's different, you know. Anyway, it's kind of a different era, different mind of selling TV, but we still believe, and we do it here in my company in IWA Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
We work with the heat because the people know if wrestling is a stage, but they love if you do it the right way, they come.
Yeah.
If you book it the right way, they come. So, I mean, I believe, I love wrestling since I see wrestling when I was a kid. I watched wrestling on TV. I got in love, and I've been doing this for almost 35 years.
Yeah.
And I still working.
Yeah, I know you are. And but let's back up because you mentioned Puerto Rico and the rich influence. I mentioned when we started our conversation, there's just this incredible legacy of professional wrestlers from Puerto Rico. You know, you mentioned Carlos Colon, Pedro Morales. You can go on and
Morales.
On.
Morales.
Why such a rich history of professional wrestling in Puerto Rico?
Well, by my knowledge and me talking to the old timers before, some of them already passed away.
Yeah.
And what I see on TV, when I got in love with wrestling, was watching Titan of the Ring, Titanes en el Ring. They come from Argentina, Martin Carabaquian. And you see there big time characters. You got the mummy, you got the guy with the STP car, racing car. I mean, full 125% characters. And what I see, when I see that, I got in love. Now, when I went inside the wrestling companies, they start working with, what is it called, with that that part of the character.
Yeah.
My mind, Shane, is already going so many ways, man. I going crazy with thinking and I just transportation myself to the 80s and see things. Why is so rich? Because by the era of the 70s, 75, 74, and Capital Sport Promotion, Carlos Colon Company, opens here in Puerto Rico, was another companies around, small companies, but no TV. Why is so rich? Because they have TV. And here in Puerto Rico, that was the soap opera of Saturdays and Sundays.
The telenovela of the
weekend. Telenovela, exactly. Why? Because, I mean, of course, you have baseball, local baseball, double A, local. You got some basketball, but none of that was TV, like wrestling. Wrestling would come on TV every Saturday at noon. And Puerto Rico stopped to watch wrestling. That's why you see those stadiums. You got 15,000, 20,000 people here, there. I mean, every weekend sold out left and right. Then you got the big matches, Carlos Colon against Abdullah the Butcher.
Yeah.
Then you got the Invader against whoever. You got the Sheepherders. In Puerto Rico, you got the Assassins, you got the Jasons, you got the Abdullah. I mean, you name it, the Samoans, the Sheiks, etc.
They all went there.
Oh yeah. With Gorilla Monsoon was part of the company.
And
Gorilla come down and he boxed in the Louvier Stadium against Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
They got a boxing match. funny. They enjoy it. I know they enjoy it.
That's really cool.
When you see that as a fan, I mean, you are like, oh, come on, yeah, do this and do that. Now, when you are inside, you see the match very big time different.
Yeah.
So that era, that golden era, was the beginning of many, many things because was a new breed of kids growing up watching that wrestling, entertaining themselves with that kind of wrestling, and you see it on TV.
Yeah.
On Mondays, we got together in the school to talk about what happened on TV and what. Do you went to the wrestling match on Saturday? Yes. What happened? This and this and that one wins. And what happened? All this one. I mean, you got the whole story there.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what one of the things that get me in love with wrestling.
Why are people there? They're so passionate about their wrestling there. I mean, to the point where it was dangerous if you're a heel,
yes,
to be there. But why are they just so passionate about it?
It's a story, the people believe it big time.
Yeah.
Then you got a Carlos Colon local guy battling these monsters coming from the States and make him suffer. Then you want to see your rooster, you want to see you fighting, you cut a fight,
yeah,
to make that comeback. And the way they sell it, that's the way they hook the people.
Oh, man.
So timing.
Yeah.
I mean, why, if you rush in a spot in where I have you in a hole or whatever, and you get up like nothing happened, that's what kills wrestling.
Yeah, you got to sell.
Why? You kill it.
Yeah.
If you hurt because I work in your neck or your leg or whatever, and you do a knee pop like nothing happened, all the work that I did to make you spot, I mean, you come back.
Yeah.
Better and hot, you just kill it.
Yeah, storytelling.
These days, storytelling.
Yeah,
here in Puerto Rico, that happened. I worked with few of my guys, mm-hmm, and that happened in the ring.
Yeah.
And you have to hear me in the ring. I mean, take your time. Where are you going? I mean, it's like Jesus Christ. I mean, when we opened IWA in the 99. And we just finished WWF.
Yeah.
I have the chance to work with a new era of guys, and I was in the ring. Miguel was in the ring. Castillo was in the ring, and other old timers. You know, from we call it old timers now, but in that time in the 99s, you know, we work hard, and we teach those guys. We have the chance to teach them the timing. Take your time. Why? Because this. And we have the time to explain them. These days is a little hard because we are not working every week like before. Because, I mean, we just started in January and things still slow. So we are working on that. It's a project that we have in our hands to teach this new era of kids how to take your time and sell it. If you sell it, they buy it.
Yeah, tell a story.
I mean, if you don't sell it, I have a great match. Why you have a great match? Because you jump like a kangaroo in the ring. You do 20 flip flop, and you hurt your knee. I mean, that's not the way to work.
Yeah.
I mean, tomorrow we need to jump in the ring again. So it's a business.
Yeah,
you need to make money.
Yeah.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing, and now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
But then it becomes a gymnastics show, and that's not what it's about. You got to tell a story along the way.
No.
Before we talk about your entrance into professional wrestling, I mean, you're a legit martial artist. And was that your first love, and then did it transition into professional wrestling, or was this something you thought that it might help you become a better performer? How did the martial arts get into your life as a young kid?
This day in my hometown, I see a flyer of they're going to do an exhibition, martial arts exhibition, one block from my house. And I said, I want to go there. I like that. Let me see, you know. So my uncles box, you know, they do boxing. And my dad was weightlifting. And I was around that, you know, a little bit. And so when I see this exhibitionist taekwondo, I love it. I say, I want to be part of that. So I talked to my grandma, I talked to my dad, I said, let's do it. So I started, you know, getting some classes. It's one block from my house. I was there Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I mean, I never miss a day. I got my black belt in Taekwondo. I teach. Then I went, you know, become a teacher. Then I opened my school. At the same time, I was doing wrestling, starting wrestling. Who took me? I mean, my first love was watching the TV, tennis and ring. Then one of my friends from the Taekwondo school, he left. He come back as like a 1 year later. And we are stretching, and I asked him, what are you doing? He say, I was wrestling. And I just grabbed him by the kimono, brother. I just grabbed him. I say, do you doing what? He said, wrestling. I said, you have to take me there. I want to go there. I want to be a wrestler. He's like, okay, leave me alone. I said, hey, no lying. This is true. I just grabbed him, and you have to take me there. I was like, you're going to take me to Disneyland? You know? So, and So he said, yeah, okay, I'll take you. And it was next town in Dorado, Puerto Rico. So I don't have a car. I don't drive. So I was telling my friends, I'll give you $2 and take me to Dorado, you know, for gas. And they took me there, and I went to the gyms. When I see that ring, I went like, oh, my God, I'm here. So brand new, first time. And I started taking some bumps. Sometimes I went to that gym and nobody, none of the wrestlers arrived because they already have, you know, they're old timers, let's say, in that part. They're already training and they doing matches here, there. So sometimes I arrived at the gym and was there by myself. I remember, Shane, I have the idea how throw the drop kick because I was...
You had no one really training you?
Well, I have few guys that train me. I cannot mention just one guy and say that's my teacher. I learn from many
picking
guys.
Things up when from you, here and there.
Exactly. So this day nobody's there. I got a piece of what's it called foam and roll it and tie it to the ropes, and I have the idea how to you know throw a drop kick. So when I throw that drop kick, my legs got hooked on the ropes face first. Boom! On the canvas. I get up right away. Was other people doing weightlifting over there. And I just turn around, look, nobody see me. I took the foam out of the ropes, changed, and left. You know? And I mean, I love the business so much that I was watching wrestling, reading the magazines, going to the arenas. Then later, I found out that my uncles was doing security with the Carlos Colon company. So I went there with them, and I was going to the matches for free. Then later, I become a security guard to be more close to the wrestling. And I was already training. One day, Isaac Rosario, he was one of the teachers of Carlos Colon. We went to his hometown to do a match. And he saw me. He said, what are you doing here? I said, I'm going to wrestle. So you're going to wrestle? You're a wrestler? I said, well, you know. And when I finished, he come back to the dressing room and say, you are better than all these guys here. And I just looked like, I said, hey. I say, please, you know, you make me, you know, they're going to jump on me because you saying that. He said, I'm going to talk to Carlos to give you a tryout. I look and I said, wow, all the guys are looking at me like, hey, help me, help me. I said, hey, I didn't even have nothing yet. And, you know,
right.
So Saturday, you know, next week, Saturday come, and Isaac look for me. And he say, stand up here in the front of the dugout. We are in the Lubrian Stadium that day. And Carlos come and look at me. So I was outside. He looked at me and he said, talk to Invader. And after Invader finished the match, they called me in the dressing room. He said, do you have your gear? I said, yes. I don't have all the stuff, you know.
Yeah.
He said, well, on Wednesday, we go to Bayamon to do TV. Can you make it? I said, yes. Hmm. So I was there. I did three matches. I believe two matches. One single with Estrada,
yeah.
Jose Estrada Sr.
Mm-hmm.
I did one match with him. I remember I potatoed him with a crossline. And I just crossline him. Ball. I just ready to say, I'm sorry. Say, that's okay. That's okay. Just continue. I was all nervous.
Right.
And another one was with Bret Hart brothers. That he was living here in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Then later, they say, well, next week, TV again. Then from there, I never stopped.
Wow.
You know, every weekend, every week, they book me. Then they say, can you make it to the towns? So yes. So they start booking me in towns. And I start making a little bit money. And now, you love it more.
Yeah.
I did 20 million and one characters with them.
Yeah, really?
I wrestle as an assassin. The Inferno with Gypsy Joe. Gypsy Joe and me,
yeah.
We did the Infernos and we did the Assassins. I wrestled as Juan Rivera, El Corsario, TNT. I mean, you mentioned.
Lots of masks.
You know, when some, on the mask.
Could be anybody, right?
I worked with, know that.
Yeah.
And was having fun, learning
yeah.
from everybody. I was learning, my English by that time was worse than now, but I was there with all these guys from the States.
Yeah.
Then Eric Embry was one of my bookers. Luke Williams was another. Leo Berg, Dutch Mantel. They're the bookers that work with me.
Mm-hmm.
And Luke booked me in Tennessee. I don't know what happened in Tennessee. They changed it for Louisiana, for Bill Watts' territory. And I was there for 4 months. My dad don't want me to go there. But I say, I want to go. I was so excited, you know. Little story there. When I arrived in Baton Rouge, a small airport, my bags got lost, you know.
Uh-oh.
And I don't speak English. No gear, no nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, now I call my mom. I say, I want to come back home. She said, no, stay there. And I hear these people speaking Spanish, Cubans. And I talked to the lady. I said, excuse me, what happened with the bags? I hear you saying the bags coming. So yeah, the bags coming in the next plane because they blah, 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 blah. I
All
said,
right.
okay, now I got the info. So I wait for my bag. Here I see my bag. I was so happy. You know, I grabbed my bag. Now, it's a Friday. And Mid-South Wrestling was somewhere in Louisiana. So I called Luke. By that time, of course, no cell phones, no beeper, no nothing.
Right, yeah.
I have to wait. Yeah. I have to wait till almost 1 o'clock in the morning to talk to Luke because they are in Ponce, which is in the south area of San Juan.
Uh-huh.
So south area of the island. And it's like 2 hours driving. So when I talked to him, he said, don't worry, they work in Lafayette.
Yeah.
They work in Lafayette, and he's going to pick you up. I was there already 6 o'clock. I have to wait almost to 3 o'clock in the morning when they come back and pick. And here comes Grizzly Smith. Grayson Smith in Impala, white Impala.
Still remember.
Yeah.
Juan?
He's like, Juan? Yes. Oh, listen to this. That airport is so small that 12 o'clock midnight, they close the airport. You have to go outside. Exactly. So I was outside when another guy I mean, somebody that he was there. They come and pick him up, and I was there by myself.
Oh, boy.
Sit down in the dark.
Yeah, and you have no idea what's going to happen with the
career. I didn't even know my name.
Yeah.
So I was there, and now why my dad don't want me to go? Well, he say, well, you know, you go into Tennessee, it's going to be a lot of racists over there, and it's going to be, you're going to be in trouble. You don't speak English.
Right.
I say, I want to go. So I say, well, they change Louisiana. I mean, they change Tennessee. It's going to be Louisiana. They say, worse! You know, no. I'm like, well, I want to go.
Yeah.
You know, and I got my ticket, and here I go. So when I was in that airport, that come in my head. So my self-defense in Taekwondo kick in. So I'm sitting there. I say, something happened. I have to start kicking some ass. Because
yeah.
I'm not going to, you know, nobody going to touch me.
Right.
If they're going to touch me, I'm going to be dead. But I'm going to fight.
Yeah.
So to be honest, here comes about 3 o'clock in something in the morning. Here come the white impalas. One. Yes. Versus me. I said, oh, God. Here come. He booked me in a hotel. He said, tomorrow, Skandor Akbar. He's going to meet you. He's going to be your manager, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, okay. So next day, I saw Skandor Akbar. Let's go. And we have a match somewhere, 3 o'clock in the lobby. All right, let's go.
Yeah.
So I was there for almost 4 months working with Ray Candy. Kamala, that's when I meet James over there, Kamala. I work with Jake the Snake Roberts, yeah. Which...
Mid-South was great back then. God, they had some great
brother
personalities.
That's why I say when I learned from these guys, look who I'm working with.
Yeah.
Jake the Snake. Jake was my teacher in the spots. He took his time to explain me everything.
And how old are you now at that point? How old were you then?
I was in my 23, around there. Yeah,
just a kid. Yeah,
still. Yeah. And first time out of my parents' side, you know, but I was in my way to be a man.
Yeah.
So I didn't even know. So Jake helped me a lot. Worked with Jim Duggan, Ted DiBiase. Bill Watts,
time.
My first brother, my first night. Was in what is it called, Astrodome?
Mm-hmm. Oh, in Houston or where?
Louisiana. What is it called? New Orleans.
Oh, the
Superdome, no? Superdome.
It's not around anymore, but yeah, the Superdome. Yeah.
No,
that's where you guys had the event.
The first they have a big show, and that was my running. Yeah. I have to do a running. What happened there, Shane? I here come Bill Dundee was the booker.
Yeah.
And he said, let's go, kid. We need to walk. So we start walking and walk and walk. And that's a big, huge building.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, here. I say, I'm blind. I use glasses. I'm blind. And the ring is far away. He said, okay, when I told you go, you're going to start running. And don't stop till you see the ring. You go inside. Kick Bill Watts and get out.
Nah.
Okay.
That was your bet.
Yeah. And he said, go now. So I start running and running and running. Now I'm running, looking at the ring. When I see close, I see the fence. When I see the fence, I'm looking for, you know, a hole to go. I'm looking for the hole and running till I see the hole, go through the hole, jump the fence, get inside the ring, do the kick. When I do the kick, I'm so nervous.
Yeah.
Give him the kick, jump out, and I jump on the table. By the time they have a table next to the ring, I jump on the table. I make a big mess on the table. When I start running out, it's a police. To me, it was a security guard. I don't know what it's real police.
Right.
And I just tackle that guy. Boom! And I just continue running to the dressing room. When I'm in a dressing room there, it start changing whatever. I swear, man, it's like 20 cops. And here come one of the guys to say, Juan. He said, yes, the police want to talk to you. I said, the police? Here come Christian Smith. They're yelling, they're mad, they're mad. And one of the guys, I forget his name, he speaks Spanish.
Yeah.
And listen, and he explained, he said, when you come out of the ring, you hit the cops and say, well, he was there, and I just pushed him to the side. I said, you cannot do that. There's state police. And, and he's playing me. Okay, I'm sorry. You say, so they accept the and apologies. And he said, don't do that again. Never.
Part
ever.
Of the work.
Don't
here.
Worry. Exactly. So
that's great.
I'm like, oh my God. Thank you, God, that this guy was there. Yeah. And he speaks Spanish, and he helped me in that. And I say, well, if he speaks Spanish, he's going to help me a lot because now I'm going to understand better the how to move over here.
Yeah.
But that night, he finished, and he went to Dallas.
Right.
I'm like, please don't go. Don't go,
right,
man.
Yeah,
he's
somebody.
Like, no, I'm booked over there. I'm okay. So Pete, his name was Pete.
Huh.
Yes, Pete Rose. Yeah. Exactly. It was Pete Rose. So he left to Dallas, and I stayed there in Tennessee, in Louisiana. I was there for almost 4 months, maybe 5 months.
Wow.
Then I come back to Puerto Rico. I did a little bit of the Infernos. Then I went to Mexico. Then from Mexico, that's when I come back, and we did the TNT character.
Wow.
You know, then from there, Japan, Mexico, Puerto Rico, and then WWF.
Yeah.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. And but there's always been this relationship though with the WWF and Puerto Rico. You mentioned, you know, the World Wrestling Council, and that was kind of where they found a lot of talent. Because or if they wanted somebody who had a lot of raw talent, they would send them there, right? And tell you, I didn't know, and you know, I was very close to Gorilla. I never knew that he was. I knew that, you know, he had connections there, but I didn't know he was actually one of the people that. Was kind of the founders of all that with Carlos, right?
With Victor Quiñones.
Yeah.
Was in peace and soul. Quiñones was one of the investors here too with Gorilla Monsoon.
Wow.
And that's why the connection of bring the Iron Sheik, bring Fuji,
right,
and Tanaka, bring the Samoans. I mean, you name it. They bring a bunch of guys from the States. When WWF was just local in the States,
right,
you know, New York area, that area, till later they start getting big and big. So I have the chance to work with, almost all those guys.
Right. Yeah.
I almost worked with Flair one time, but they make a storyline here in Puerto Rico, me and another guy. So we went the different way, but I almost have the chance to work with Rick.
Yeah.
Miguelito Perez worked with him. And luckily, I mean, with this Castillo, Miguel Perez Jr., the young kids in that era worked with Mark and Chris Youngblood, the Battens, I mean, a bunch of guys.
Yeah, the list goes on and on.
And it was easy matches, timing matches, because the fans were right there. It's not time to rush nothing.
Yeah.
Why you have to rush it?
Yeah.
If they're right there, they're not going nowhere. They're gonna watch you because I mean, when the boy come out of the dressing room, and the people, you know, applauding him and they come with him and be happy because that guy is there. You have half the match already in your pocket.
Yeah. So what was the
other half?
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, the other half of the match, you have to paint it inside the ring.
Right, right.
You know, and easy. Go ahead.
And tell the story. I mean, that's exactly what we've been talking about. And this is, and we're talking about the WWF and that relationship. with Puerto Rico and the World Wrestling Council. And this is something, it wasn't Vince Jr. who started, Senior had this relationship going. And like you said,
exactly.
It gave people the opportunity not only to see some of these big stars from the States, but also it was a great place to learn if you were somebody coming up who had talent and that they saw a big future in. And so you were you were in a really great spot for that. What was your first relationship?
Go ahead.
What was your first experience with the WWF when you started, getting involved with working with them?
Well, the person before I didn't even know too much about WWF.
Yeah.
And the person that got me there was Razor Ramon, Scott Hall.
Really?
I worked with Scott Hall here in Puerto Rico many, many times, and when he was the Cowboy, Scott Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And here I was working in Japan for New Japan Pro Wrestling. Bam Bam Bigelow was there with me. Yokozuna was there. Fatu was there with me. Bader was there with me.
Yeah.
And we are that crew, the heavy crew.
Right.
And here come Bam Bam Bigelow to New York. Here come Yokozuna. So before Yoko went there, I told him and Fatu that say hello to Scott. I said, tell him, Scott, that I say hello, man. I ain't even seen him in a long time. And after he went over there, Razor Ramon. And one day he say, he called him. He said, call him. I said, well, I called him. He said, hey, I talked to the boss, and you have a tryout. I said, what? He said, yeah. You're going to have a tryout here, and I want that badass guy here.
Yeah.
I said, man, thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much. So I went from Japan to Syracuse. I did my tryout. So, I mean, I don't want to be a tough guy or an ass there.
Yeah.
So I took it easy on my match. Soon I get out of the match. Here comes Scott in the backstage and say, what's going on? I said, what do you mean? He said, that match was shitty.
Yeah.
I said, what do you mean? He said, where's the bad guy that beat the hell out of me in Puerto Rico?
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I took it easy. Like, no. I want to see the bad guy. I want to see the TNT. I want to see the guy. I said, okay, man. He said, okay, tomorrow you're going to have another match.
Yeah.
You know, because they look at him like, that's what you bring.
Right.
So he said, And he said, tomorrow you're going to have another match. I said, okay, let's do it. So next day I just moved, the way I do it. And he said, that's the guy I want to see.
There's the bad
guy. After that, they sent me home. And I finished with Japan. I finished with all the companies because, the goal was to make it there.
Right.
They say, well, they're going to call you. I say, but I wasn't home for almost 4 months doing nothing. One day I say, I have it, up to my head, and I just called the office. And I said, I want to talk to somebody there to tell me if I'm going to have a job or not because I'm dying over here. I'm making the money.
Right.
And that's when Pat Patterson come on the phone. He said, I apologize. We have so many things here, blah, 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 blah. But we're going to call you anytime soon. Okay. So I went there with them. They called me. Finally, they called me. They say they want to make me the Quan gimmick, which was a TNT with the mask.
Right.
I was using the TNT stuff.
Right.
And so after that, they say, well, you're going home. We're going to call you again. I said, all right. So I went to Mexico to make some costumes. So I flew to Mexico. So I arrived about a Monday night. And Tuesday, I called my wife. On Tuesday morning, she said, you have to call the office. They just called, WWF called you. I said, okay. So I called, and it was Ann Russo. I don't know if you remember Russo.
Yeah.
And I called, and she said, by that time, it was Quan and Juan. So I don't know what name she called me. And
right.
I say, she was calling me Quan.
Yeah.
I say, Quan? I say, yes. You have to be on a pay-per-view, what is it called? SummerSlam?
SummerSlam, yeah.
SummerSlam or Royal Rumble? Something. Royal Rumble. So you have to be at Royal Rumble somewhere. I don't even remember where was the town.
Right.
On Saturday. On Friday, something like that. I'm like, but I'm in Mexico now. I have to do. I said, no, don't worry. Leave Mexico tomorrow, and you have to be there on Friday.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. So it was easy to change the tickets at that time.
Yeah.
Right. So I changed my ticket, changed all, everything. The guy made my custom right away. I mean, he worked fast. And I was there in the paper. That's why Luke B. Borga broke his ankle. That's why they booked me. You know, they said, well, we don't have Borga now. Let's get Savio.
Yeah.
Or TNT, you know, Quan. So they got me, and I went to the pay-per-view. That was my first pay-per-view. And when I see that check, I went like, what? What the heck? You know, I was so happy. You know, I said, wow. Then, you know, I did what I have to do, you know, do my work the right, the way they want to do it. They want, you know, they want the job done. Because I understand the business. I understand how do what you have to do inside the ring, because I, like I said before, I come with that school of old timers, and I'm working with these guys, timing, easy. Hey, I love it, to be honest.
Yeah. And what was it, that relationship, and I don't think a lot of people knew how deep that relationship you had with Scott went way back, because they remember you coming in and he actually introduces you as his old friend. Well, this is when he was Razor, mm-hmm. Ramon. And yes. His old friend Savio Vega, which, you know, was right there to pretty close to reality. What was it like working with him back then, especially coming into the WWF and having somebody like that there with you?
Well, was I mean, make me happy.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, the way they introduced the character after almost a year doing Quan was the his friend from South Bronx come to help him in Syracuse when Jeff Jarrett and the roadie jump on him, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And happy, you know. But in that transition, Scott don't want to have a partner. He don't want to do a tag team, and WWF want him to do a tag team with me. Hmm. They have in mind put the belts on us, but Scott don't want it because he say this is one-man territory, you know, and I don't want to do the tag team, blah, blah, blah. Well, I said, okay, don't worry. I mean, anyway, they pay me the same.
Yeah.
So, you know, I did what I have to do my work, and happy, you know, happy for him to help me. Every time that I see him, when I see him, we talk about it. You know, he make a joke on me in one of the planes. I make a joke on him. He got mad at me big time, but, you know, it's part of the stories on the road.
Yeah.
But happy to be honest, to you know, to be there and work with, you know, such a tremendous people, you know, happy.
Yeah, what was it like, though? I mean, you hadn't really experienced, you know, what that life was like. I mean, you're traveling all over the country. I know you've been to Japan and everything, but that schedule was just ridiculous because you're doing so many house shows. What was that like for you, and did you settle into it? Was it tough?
You know what? I enjoyed the wrestling. Then on top of that, enjoying to travel. I love to travel. Oh. And of course, if it's paid for, it better.
Yeah.
You know.
And, that's right. Yeah.
So I love my jobs that much. The you know, when I went there with WWF.
Yeah.
And you got, you know, you have, you know, to travel to Middle East, Europe, South Africa, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, all over the world.
It's happy. Happy to be there. In South Africa, when we went to, listen to this, when we went to South Africa, before, period of that, you know, we do promotions. So here says, Savvy, you go into Africa, you have to do some promotions. Here's the paper. So it's, you know, hey, I am Savio Vega and blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, I finished my promos. It's like three promos. When I'm walking out, I hear the camera guys say, well, what are you going to do? I say, well, I'm going to lunch because these other guys, they didn't want to do their promos. The other one, he has some of the promos over there. The other one this and the other one that. And I say to them, if you want, you know, I could do more. So you really, because we have to fill all this, you know.
Yeah.
I said, well, I'm not working tonight, so let me do the promos. So I start doing promos left and right,
mm-hmm.
left and I change clothing and let's do another ones. The story, the long story short, when I went to South Africa, those fans they received me like I was the champion.
Yeah.
I mean, because they saw
that's great.
Because but the point is, they put my face in every show, in every show. So when I come out of the dressing room, you hear the crowd going crazy. Yeah. Wow! I'm like, whoa! What is this? And was about the promos.
Yeah.
And I did my what I had to do. I worked my you know, did my job there, like, you know, the way the fans needed to be nice and clean and, you know, and happy to be in South Africa and in other countries. But I enjoyed, to be honest, work there, because the traveling, I love it, to be honest, I love it. I miss that.
Yeah. Well, along the way, you also must miss some of those feuds you had. You had some great ones. I think ones that really stand out, people remember, is, you know, the many great matches you had with Steve Austin. And what was it that was such great chemistry with you two?
Well, the other day I was talking to somebody else, and I mentioned before.
Yeah.
When Steve and me met was in South San Antonio, Texas. That's when Pat come to me and said, Savio, you're going to work with this guy. This is Steve Austin.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to do his tryout. Let me know what's going on. You're going over. I said, okay. So I look at Steve and say, man, I don't know you. You don't know me.
Right.
My finish is a spinning kick. Let's call it inside the ring. He said, done.
Huh.
So we went inside the ring and we worked as a switch watch.
Yeah,
the timing was perfect. The match went so nice. When we went back to the dressing room, I shake his hand and say, "Brother, good job." And here comes Pat and say, "Savio, tell me." I say, "You see it?" He say, "Yeah." I say, "You tell me." He say, "Look great." I say, "What's great?" He say, "Good. Tomorrow you working again?"
Yeah.
I said, "Right." So we did another one. Then from that point on, they married us for almost more than 1 year.
Yeah.
We worked every
great
night.
Great matches.
Oh,
just brawls, though. They were just these great brawls. I don't know.
If you see it, we went up and down, you know.
Yeah.
Get the people, get the heat, get that momentum of hope, taking down, coming up again, finally big heat, and boom, come back and go home. Why we got that chemistry, I found out. You know, Steve worked in Atlanta area, Dallas area, and I worked with most of those guys too here in Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
So don't know him. He was working with those guys over there, and I was working with the same guys over here.
Yeah.
So when we got together, we got that school. We come from the same school without knowing each other. You know, and that's why we have that chemistry inside of the ring. Also with Goldust, you know, we have that momentum of timing, and let's call it old time wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it was easy for us to do what we did.
Yeah, and are there others? You mentioned Goldust. Who were some of the others that you really enjoyed working with?
Everybody. I work, to be honest, I work everybody. Yokozuna.
I know the list is long.
Yeah. Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah.
The Roadie. With Vader. With Undertaker. I did two matches with Taker.
Yeah.
And we just went, well, okay, we're going to do this and this. Let's go. You know, we don't talk too much. What was something that already you have that book in your head, to do the right stuff, and what I mean, I think one of the main key here is listen to the people.
Yeah.
You have to listen to them. They will tell you what they want, and you need to right away know what way you're going to go. Because if you start doing some spot and you keep going in that spot and going in that spot, and the people like we say here, coqui, nothing.
Right.
You know, so you need to change the strategy right there, right away.
Yeah.
You need to come up with something to make the people pop. Once you got that door, just go.
Yeah. Did you enjoy when as your career went along here with the WWE, being involved in these factions that they would have. There were so many, like Nation of Domination, and eventually the Los Boricuas.
Los Boricuas.
Yeah, yep. Which was just great. Did you enjoy those? Because, I mean, you talk about being able to develop storylines. I think those were some really great times when they had these factions.
When they turned me heel in the Madison Square Garden against Ahmed Johnson to be in the Nation of Domination, I love that Nation of Domination stuff. Yeah. Love it. Looks so serious. Looks so mean. You know, and every time we walk out, you people look at us like, what's real heat? You know, they look at us. They don't look at it as, wrestlers. No, what's on heat there?
Yeah.
And then we break and we bring the rest of the Boricuas, the DOA guys, and the Nation. It was something different, you know.
You couldn't get away with that now because of the racial tensions that would bring up. But at the time there, it was, like you said, it was something you really hadn't seen where they, basically that was a storyline. You had these different groups. You had Los Boricuas, the Boricans. They had, you had the Disciples of the Apocalypse, which was basically this biker gang kind of thing. And it was really a really interesting period of time to be able to tell stories like that and how people came together in a sense. And, had wars and, but like I said, you couldn't tell those stories now. People are way too sensitive, you know?
Yeah, and when except Crush, I worked with Crush, rest in peace his soul, great, great person.
Yeah.
I worked with him here in Puerto Rico when he was the one of the demolitions. Then I worked with the DOA guys, with Harris, the Harris brothers.
Yeah.
Worked with them here in Puerto Rico too.
Yeah.
And Brian Lee. We all went to WWF, so we know each other. And when we got there, it was easy for us to do what we did because we already did, you know?
Yeah.
And with the Boricuas, I mean, I worked, like I said before, ahead in the interview, back in the interview, I worked with Miguel Perez, against him, Tai Team, and Castillo also, and Estrada too. So we all come from the same school. And what's so easy for us to work in the ring, when I do the trainings in some gyms that I go in, here in the States or here in Puerto Rico, I teach the guys how to work a tag team match.
Mm-hmm.
And always I refer them to a match that Miguel and me did against the Headbangers in UK. Was something UK pay-per-view or something. In that match, I told the guys all the time, go and watch that match and see the movement that we did to work as a tag team.
Yeah.
The way we grabbed that match and took it to the level in where, I mean, the Headbangers went over, but we are the heels. We are the ones make them look great.
Yeah.
So that's what Miguel and me did.
Yeah.
We work a masterpiece tag team match, and that match was I've seen it once in a while, and I see the movement, the way Miguel and me do this, do that. So these days you don't see that on matches.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing.
No, and you don't close. And you don't see the tag teams anymore. I mean, I know when during the 80s, guys, I think they had as many tag teams as they had singles, and it was, it was over just as much as any of them. You don't see that anymore. But like I said, I always thought that was just such an effective way to tell stories and entertain people that I really miss that. And probably it's so much harder, it's hard enough for singles competition to try and tell a story, but then to develop these deep storylines like they had with the factions and these different tag teams, you don't have that anymore. I miss that. I really do.
Yeah, and two, it's like I said, they wanna do the television so like a magazine. By the way, you switch pages and different stuff in the magazine. So it has to be a segment here, segment there. Let's do a match. Then you see so many punch, camera punch, left and right, punch it here, you know, cameras here, camera. It's like, okay, you're watching it, but it's like, I don't know, keep the camera there. Let's the people enjoy a little bit, you know. But that's the way they do TV these days.
Yeah, it's a different world, that's for sure. Yeah. We mentioned the Los Barriquas, and you must be, I don't know how much throughout your career, but representing your country, in a sense, has that always been so important to you? And that, and we talked about the rich tradition of what Puerto Rico has brought to the to professional wrestling.
Yes, very, very much. We Puerto Ricans. We are very proud of the island.
Yeah,
I mean, we love our flag. I mean, it's something that you have to be a Puerto Rican to say, okay, I understand now. You know, it's something that make us proud to be us. Right now, Puerto Rico is going through some problems with the government here, you know, and I don't know if you see the news.
Oh, yeah, you see, do it every day.
I mean, over a million people went on March yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, and this Saturday is going to be another one, and I believe it's going to be more people because it's a Saturday. They closed the major malls here in San Juan area because, I mean, afraid maybe, but it's going to be so many people. So they closed the malls. And this is not about the politicians or politics. It's about what's going on in the island with us, the Puerto Ricans.
Yeah.
This government is no good. We catched him, you know, stolen. And he had to go out. He had to leave the big, you know, the government. He had to gone.
Yeah.
And right now is a big troubles here. But like I say, we are very proud. Yeah. Puerto Ricans are proud.
Yeah, still recovering from the hurricane, and that's still a big part of what.
A few things still, you know, here there, but it's I could say it's a 99.99% already up. Everything is okay, you know.
Yeah,
A few houses, of course, still with the blue ceiling, you know.
Yeah.
And people help here, there, every day. Somebody helping somebody else to get well. That's part of the government. The trouble that this governor have.
Yeah.
You know, they stole money. They hide water. They hide the money for the recovery. I mean, so many things. They mess with the schools. They mess with the health, you know. So two things very important for us here in Puerto Rico. And this asshole, because that's the right word,
mm-hmm.
he messed with all that. And he's going out. He's,
yeah.
And now he's holding in the chair because they say they're going to residential him, something like that. I don't know if the right word in English, but he have to go out. He have to go out.
Yeah. Well, I know that the people there say they won't rest until he's gone. So the people are proud people. And, you know, the majority is going to rule here, right?
Exactly.
Savio, it's been awesome really talking to you. How can our listeners get in touch with you? Do you have... Twitter or what do you? How can they get in touch with you?
In Twitter, you can find me as at Savio Vega. On Instagram, is Tio. It's T-I-O, like Tio. It's like uncle.
Yep.
I'm gonna tell you in a moment that story. Tio, T-I-O, Savio Vega. That's in Instagram. On Facebook, I got two pages. They are full already. Hmm. But you could go on Savio Vega official fan page. Savio Vega official fan page. That's my page. And on Twitter, like I say, at Savio Vega, and also at Ninja TNT and Twitter.
Yeah.
So you could find me there. All the fans could go there and write me something. I always answer back when I have the time, talk to some of the fans and say hello to them. And I'm happy. The other day I was in Cleveland, Ohio, mm-hmm. and this guy come up with a picture when he was a kid, and he's already a grown old man. Yeah. He says, this picture is almost 25 years. I went, wow. And we took a picture with him and the picture before and after.
That's great.
And nice. I mean, it's make me happy, yeah. to be honest, to be with and the word T-O, T-I-O,
yeah,
here in Puerto Rico, when I was doing the big time character general manager of the IWA Puerto Rico,
uh-huh.
I was the bad guy. You know, you got a general manager, which is a son of a gun.
Yeah.
And when I turned babyface, I say one time to before the babyface, we did a show in Father's Day, and here come Good House. And I start talking, you know, congratulations to all the, you know, all the papas, the puppies,
yeah.
Around the world, you parents, if you know who you are, I mean, who they are, you know. When I say that, all the fans got mad and start yelling at me and say bad words to me. So when I turn baby face, I say, maybe your dad is not here, but your Uncle Savio is here, Tio. So from that day, the fans start calling me Tio Savio and ask me for me to bless them, you know, to bendiciones, you know, and it's good, you know, when you have the control of the fans, and you know what to do and do the right thing. So make me proud and make me happy to every time that I go in the ring, you know, the people go happy with my work.
Yeah, well, you're still making him happy, and what an incredible career, Savio, and I want to thank you so much for coming on Primetime, and I hope I catch up with you sometime down the road.
Yes, sir, we will. Thank you very much, and something in Spanish. Para toda la gente que me está escuchando, muchas, muchas gracias. Es un honor haber estado aquí hablando con ustedes. Estamos aquí en Puerto Rico, en lo que es IWA Puerto Rico. Síguenos buscando en la página de YouTube. Y muchas bendiciones a todos de parte de Tío Sabio Vega, porque las cosas son a mi manera o para la calle. Oh, Shane, and you have to tune in YouTube and look for us as IWA Puerto Rico. You could see our shows there. Every Saturday at 1:00 is a brand new show coming up.
All right. Fantastic. I will definitely
thank you.
Catch it. And all you folks out there listening, be sure you check it out.
Thank you.